Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Welcome to the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. This is episode 20, March Madness edition. Sorry for the bit of a layoff there. We were both out of town. We are back. We are excited. Andrew, how you doing?
I'm doing good. So we're at episode 20. Does that mean that one more episode and we can drink on the podcast?
I like where your head's at, but unfortunately I've been drinking since like episode 3, so I don't know if the logic adds up.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Actually, one. No, we drank in the first episode.
Oh, yeah, that's true. We are hitting it hard.
Right.
So, episode 32, we'll be in like rehab, man.
But in podcast years, you know, we're getting up there now. Like, this is, you know, podcast years, you see a lot of podcasts start off and do like 3 episodes and then fail or just never come back because things happen. But we've had some breaks, but we keep coming back. So we're excited to be here. We have been in Vegas for the past week. We do our annual March Madness
trip. Well, you've been there for the past week. I've been there since Thursday.
But. All right, fine. I was there for a week. Andrew was there for the past 4 days. We go out there every year for March Madness, the first 2 rounds of the tourney. If you're not at the KU game, it's the best place to be in March. It's just the epicenter of college basketball.
Well, Jason Whitlock's column actually was about that today, about how he was at the MGM Grand Sportsbook all weekend, which we didn't know that. If we would have known that, we would have gone and tried to hang out with him. He would have probably hated us.
Probably.
But read his article for anything about Vegas and the tournament. It's a bettor's dream to go out there during it, because especially for people, probably KU fans generally, I think they're pretty knowledgeable about sports, about basketball, and they think they can beat the bank.
Take down the house.
You can't do it. You're not going to. You're
especially
not smarter.
This time of year.
You're not smarter than them. I go into it every year thinking I'm smarter than them, and I'm not.
We did okay this year. We did okay. We did all right. There are a lot of KU fans out there, tons of KU fans.
Yeah, any big fan base, it seems to be. There's a big gathering in Las Vegas. So if you ever get a chance, it's something fun to do.
Usually a lot of Kentucky fans, too. Didn't see as many of those this year. Maybe they just weren't wearing their shirts.
I think they weren't wearing their stuff. 'Cause on game days, the shirts come out. Everybody's wearing their stuff. You see the occasional, you know, Maryland shirt.
Right.
Like, what are you guys, what are you doing? It's NIT. You're in the NIT, bro. Or the Rhode Island Polytechnic.
Right. But. Well, we had a good time, but we are back ready to talk some hoops. So we missed a few things since we last talked to you. Something about a Big 12 tourney champs, number 1 seed, Western Kentucky, UNC. We're going to talk about all of that, plus a little preview of Michigan and our schedule for the rest of the week for the podcast. But first, let's get into this Big 12 tourney. What do you say?
Y'all ready for this? Come after me! I'm a man!
How about playing a little defense? You ever heard of that one, Stan?
BCS.
Dollar signs.
All right, so we had a nice little road to the Big 12, going through a couple teams that I think we wanted to play. Got Iowa State out of the way, and then just destroyed K-State. I don't know if we want to spend a ton of time talking about the games themselves, since they are, you know, a little bit while ago, but let's talk about K-State generally and the rivalry. Got them 3 times this year. Of course, they shared the Big 12 title, but wanted to see your thoughts on K-State and the state of the rivalry, a topic that we've been trying to hit on often throughout this podcast.
Well, I think the state of the rivalry has become just K-State fans complaining about referees. I think that's the only element to it anymore. It's not about my team is better than yours. It's not about anything like that. It's K-State fans just saying that the referees are being paid by, like, literally saying that. And it's not everybody, but there's a vocal portion of the fan base who I think literally believes that.
They literally believe it. Like,
yeah, I think that we need to get beyond that if we're going to try to amp up this rivalry. Like, maybe we need to start losing games. Which I'd prefer not to do, but I think that that's kind of one of the things that needs to happen for this to be anything.
You know, if K-State fans yell loud enough or make as enough of a tantrum, KU fans start to notice them. I've noticed. And I think they've always wanted a voice, and we've always paid attention to Missouri. And, you know, some factions, we've talked about this, or have always thought of K-State as a rivalry. But, you know, if they raise a big enough stink, if they yell enough, if they boo enough, if they do enough to try to get our attention, maybe that, you know, there starts to become more of a rivalry. And I think they're getting there. Even if it is talking about refs or trying to say that, you know, we shared and, you know, there was a better chance that, you know, K-State was a better team, but if it wasn't for the refs or, you know, whatever. And I think a lot of that starts with their coach. I mean, Bruce Weber came out at their little pep rally thing and said, you know, talked about the refs. He talked about the refs during the game in the Big 12 tournament. He talked about the refs to his team. Holly Rowe goes over there and, you know, listens in on the huddle, and he says, don't worry about the refs. Who cares if the refs hate us? You know, like he's literally said those words. Don't worry if the refs hate us. Like, if you start saying things like that, your fan base is just going to jump on it. And they really have. It's kind of interesting.
But I mean, we just keep winning, and the championship game was fun. It was we needed that win, kind of got us going. Another thing I want to talk about a little bit is Perry Ellis. This is not talking about him in the tournament so far. It's mostly talking about him in the Big 12 tournament. But his play in the Big 12 tournament was absolutely amazing. Yeah. He at times looked like the best player on the court, and which would kind of make him one of the best players in the conference. But he made Big 12 tournament all first team off the bench.
Right,
had a big 23-point game against Iowa State. They weren't really ready for him. And you know, going forward in this tournament, especially against a team like Michigan coming up, call Perry a stretch four, call Perry a scoring four, call him what you want. He's going to be dangerous if he keeps it up. Brings back that, you know, attack mentality.
Right, and that's exactly what he does. I mean, he gets the ball and he knows one thing, and that's going to score. However he can do it. He's got that pretty drop step. He's got, you know, pretty well-developed post moves for a freshman. Here's some comparisons out there to Collison and that his, you know, pretty refined scoring moves, especially for how young he is. So, and he's starting to get confidence, and that's huge. And we've been waiting for this all year. He's starting to live up to some of that potential that everyone was talking about. So we're going to need him. I think he's going to be a big part of any run that we do to the Final Four.
And how cool was the Perry, Perry chant at the Sprint Center?
Yeah.
How cool was that?
Twice.
That
was great. Yeah, that was great. they did it both games. He deserved it. He was great. I think KU fans especially like to see Kansas guys do well on their teams. You know, everyone's a big Tyrell Reed fan, and Wayne is obviously, but good to see Perry doing well. I think he's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Let's before we move on to talk about the other tournament, let's just talk about Kansas City generally in the Big 12 tournament. Mm-hmm. You and I were down there for some of it, and I was in there for all of it. It was a great time.
Yeah,
Kansas City put on a good show. I mean, they always do, but this year was very excellent. Power and Light District was hopping. People everywhere. It was great.
Yeah, as we discussed, this is the only time of year to really enjoy the Power and Light District. At least you and I'm sure there's some people out there that enjoy it, but I'm not a big fan. I know you're not a big fan, but during the tournament, it's awesome because it's all just people wearing their team t-shirts and drinking and having a good time. It's all about basketball and not about Guido's wearing Smedium t-shirts and whatever else they're doing.
Let's talk about one other thing, a little luck you and I stumbled into.
Yeah.
For the Thursday set of games, I'll just start off with the story. My father and stepbrother came up from Texas to watch the games, and we had tickets. What row was it? You came with us that first day. We were in the fifth from the back in the top deck.
Yeah, something like that.
You know, just the lottery tickets that you get off the Sprint Center website. Get a phone call. My stepbrother gets a phone call from his friend. He goes to Texas Tech. And she mentioned something about how her dad works for Phillips 66, blah, 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 whatever, whatever. Anyway, the dad comes and finds us and says, do you guys want a seat upgrade? And we said, yes. And he said, are you sure? And then we said, I am absolutely positive, like that red-haired girl from the AT&T commercial. Yeah,
from the commercial, right.
Yeah, we were absolutely positive. So we got to sit in row six behind, I guess it was KU's bench the whole time on that Thursday. It would have been K-State's bench.
Right next to Cindy Self.
Right next to Cindy Self. We could have touched Cindy Self,
mm-hmm.
but we didn't. No. We didn't, but we could have.
We could have.
We were that close.
Yeah.
Could
have shared nachos, you know, some popcorn.
And also, my stepbrother got to take the around-the-world shots, and he made them all.
Mm-hmm.
And Wayne Simeon gave him a fist bump.
How about that? Yeah, that was nice. Those were pretty good seats. Got the hospitality tent. Got some free food and drinks. All on the dime of Phillips 66. So, you know, I'm going to probably get some gas there sometime just to...
Phillips 66 is not a sponsor of this podcast.
No, but they could be if they want to be, especially if they want to give us tickets.
Yeah, we got to get some of that oil money.
Gas or, you know, whatever.
But anyway, Sprint Center was a great time.
Yeah.
Great venue. Great host.
Got to cut some nets. Hopefully not the last time that we're cutting nets. It'd be fun to cut some nets down in Texas this weekend. And then obviously again in Atlanta. But one other thing I want to talk about the Big 12, you know, as we kind of fast forward to Selection Sunday, we had five teams picked in the tournament and only one made it out of the weekend. Is that surprising to you?
I think it's very surprising. I thought K-State would at least make it to the Sweet 16. I thought the same with Oklahoma State. You know, they had Oregon in front of them. Well, they had played Oregon the first round, and then I thought they had a winnable game against St. Louis ahead of them. I thought those two teams were certainly Sweet 16 teams. And then I thought Iowa State was good enough to be in the Sweet 16. You know, and they showed that game against Ohio State that, you know, they were close. They almost got there. But it was all a little bit disappointing. I think we all put solid effort. It's not like there's any clunker teams out there. But, you know, the K-State LaSalle loss is pretty disappointing for the Big 12. OU, you know, that's kind of a toss-up game against San Diego State, but, you know, whatever. But it's a little disappointing. You kind of wanted a better showing from the Big 12 there. But, you know, KU, only one standing.
That's right. We got to represent for the Big 12 like we have most of the recent years past. But, I agree. I think it was kind of surprising. I thought K-State would stick around. Wasn't sure about OSU. Didn't think Iowa State would represent. They probably ended up being the best of the bunch. Probably should have won. But anyway, here's one other question for you, guy. Do you cheer for the Big 12 and the tournament? I mean, do you kind of want those guys to win and go on just to, I don't know, even K-State? I mean, do you have a rooting interest for the Big 12?
I do. I was rooting for K-State this weekend. I root for mostly Big 12. I didn't root for Missouri ever. Right. Unless I was betting on them, and I justified betting on them by saying that if they knew that I was betting on them, they'd be upset.
I like that.
But that's how I justified it. So I mean, otherwise, I root for the Big 12. There was maybe a couple Texas years where I didn't root for them, but generally, I want the conference to do well. I think it helps KU out too. If the conference does well, it kind of bolsters, you know, this organization we're a part of. So, and this is kind of the time to shine.
Right.
Didn't really shine this year.
So even when K-State lost to LaSalle, a part of you wasn't even like, ah, that's kind of funny. You were legitimately upset.
Oh, no, definitely. There was a part of me that thought that's
okay.
Hilarious.
See, it was about 50-50 for me and maybe 51-49 that was kind of funny. But I'm with you. I was kind of cheered for him, but. If they lost, it was not going to tear me up. I thought it was
kind of a win-win,
right? Yeah, win-win. Exactly. Well, let's fast forward here. So we get the one seed in the South, which is exactly where we wanted to be. We got the Kansas City to Dallas connection. It's seems, you know, just about perfect for what the guys have been working for. And then You see the seeding, and we got Western Kentucky as a 16, and then that favorable matchup likely to be with North Carolina. So what was your reaction on Selection Sunday to the seeding itself, the being a 1 and the 8-9, and then seeing North Carolina there?
Well, at that point, I figured that we'd be a number 1 just because kind of everybody was saying that. And we ended up being the number 2 overall.
Yeah, that was surprising.
Which I didn't expect. Western Kentucky, I didn't know a whole lot about, except they have an awesome mascot.
One of the best.
Yeah, it looks like a red blob. And, you know, it doesn't need to be explained. It's just, it is what it is.
It's so cool, though.
Don't think about it too hard. Just look at it and say, that's what it is. Just a red blob.
It's my favorite mascot, not named Big or Baby.
And then the North Carolina thing. My first reaction was, are they going to do this again?
Right.
And then how I've kind of explained it to people in my thoughts, it's kind of like Indiana Jones 4.
Okay.
In the sense that, you know, we've seen this movie before.
Is this the one with the aliens?
Yeah. We don't need to see this movie again. Like, it's over with. We've seen it. Let's put this series to bed. Mm. We're done with it. We don't need to see this movie. That being said, we'll go see it and see what happens. And of course, Indiana Jones won at the end. KU won at the end. Same movie over and over again. You don't feel bad for Roy. It's just kind of one of those bugaboos for him. But we can talk about the game in a little bit. But just generally, kind of was just a random deal, I think, that popped up and. You know, it ended up being okay for us, but are they going to keep doing this? How long is this going
to
be?
No kidding. It's starting to get silly. I'm with you. I even predicted last year before the season that we would be matched up with North Carolina, and we were. And then this year I was like, there's no way they're going to do it again. And then we were. It's just crazy. But I don't feel sorry for Roy. I'm with you. But it started to become a thing. The KU... or the Bill Self over Roy narrative. People keep kind of, you know, there's some signs that said, you know, KU or Roy can't beat KU and Roy can't beat Bill. And it's only been a 3-game sample size, but I do kind of find it a little humorous that it's kind of become this thing that Roy can't beat Self on a national basis. Probably not accurate or fair, but still kind of funny. I mean, I like Roy. I'm not a KU hates Roy kind of guy anymore, but the sticker did it for me. What about you?
Right. That should have been the end of the movie. Right. That's the end of the movie. We don't need to see another one. We got the sequel last year and it was fine. Then we got it, you know, like Hangover 2. Like, we didn't need to see it again.
Well, let's talk about the game itself. Well, I guess let's start with Western Kentucky first, because that was kind of a...
Let's talk about that very briefly, because I hated that game. Which, you know, just avoid the bad. But it was bad. It was
bad.
Here's a little rundown. Wasn't it the second closest final score between a 16 and a 1? And then the first was the Gonzaga game earlier in the tournament on Thursday.
Right, yeah. 64-57 was the final score. 7 points. And then Gonzaga had won by 6. Yeah, exactly. So a little scary there for a while. A little touch and go.
it doesn't matter, though.
No, survivor in advance.
Put it to bed. It's a whole nother tournament next week.
The highlights really were just Withy. He seemed like the only guy that really came to play. He had 17, 6, and 7 blocks. Relaford and McLemore had 11. McLemore didn't really shoot it very well, but got to the free throw line, and then Perry played all right. He had 9. We did go 24-30 from the free throw line. Pretty ugly, ugly game. 0-for-6 from 3, but luckily, I mean, literally luckily, we held them to 3-for-20 from 3. And
I think since the introduction of the 3-point line, this is the first win for a team in the NCAA tournament without hitting a 3.
Are you sure? I think I read something about Arizona did it, but I could be wrong.
Well, I could be wrong, but okay. There's some statistics about it's very rare.
Right.
Yeah, we don't have facts here. We just
no.
say we saw something somewhere.
I said Arizona. I don't even know if that's right. But anyway,
most of what we say here is probably made up. Just don't want everyone to know this.
Exactly. Those numbers I said earlier about Withy, I think those are right.
Those are correct.
Are they? Okay, good. Well, I do know that we went 0 for 6 from 3, and that's not good. I do know that part. And we were losing in halftime. Were you concerned at all at half based on what you were seeing? Did the thought creep in at all? I mean, could this be the first one?
I wasn't ever worried that we were going to lose. I was just mad that we weren't playing very well.
Right.
Like, the thought never crossed my mind that we're going to lose.
Did that thought ever come up any time during the game?
No, not. I mean, I was mad the whole time, but I didn't ever think we were going to lose.
Okay. I was just curious if the thought creeped into your head. I'm kind of the same way. I didn't ever feel like it was getting out of hand. I thought, we'd eventually come back, but we were probably pretty fortunate that they were so cold from three as well. You know, if they make three or four of those in the second half where they're just clunking everything, it could have been a different game. Not to say that, we couldn't have overcome that, but still a little scary. Did you have any like general concerns after that game based on what you saw? I mean, Macklemore was pretty cold, the turnovers, we didn't finish the game, the way we handled the full court pressure, anything kind of jump out that was scaring you a little bit for the rest of the tournament?
I think just the offense, like the offense needs to get going. And I think that kind of carried over into the North Carolina game. There wasn't any rhythm. It didn't seem like we were moving the ball as well as we used to. Withy wasn't getting the right touches and generally the turnovers. So I think that there were a lot of offensive concerns. I wasn't concerned on the defensive end.
Right.
I think we were making him do what we wanted to do. We just couldn't take advantage of them not hitting shots. I mean, it kept them close because we couldn't score either.
Right. To me, it was the guard play against the full court press. That was the thing that kind of scared me a little bit, because the blueprint, it looked like, was going to be out there for a way to really screw with KU. It's just to pressure the heck out of the guards because they just couldn't take care of the basketball. And North Carolina, though they didn't really press as much as Western Kentucky did, still forced KU into 22 turnovers. So I think turnovers are the scary thing to me. And then obviously we got to get Macklemore going. Pretty bad weekend for him overall. But anyway, let's move on from that game. Got that clunker out of the way, survive in advance, as they say. Let's move on to the North Carolina game. And kind of brought the same energy and same game really to that first half of North Carolina that we had for Western Kentucky. Pretty slow, missing shots, turning the ball over, couldn't make a three. And that resulted in a quick 31-20 halftime. What were you thinking after that first half?
Well, I thought we could lose the game after this one, at halftime here. I was pretty upset, pretty frustrated. You and I are watching it together in the Cosmopolitan,
mm-hmm.
and it just kind of became a bad scene, bad feel all the way around. So we had to get out of there.
Yeah, I was like, pay your bill. We got to get the heck out of here.
We went to Planet Hollywood, found a nice secluded area, probably the only secluded little area in Las Vegas. Found a good spot, good little seat, and I think we changed it. I think that's what really turned the tide for this tournament, Kevin.
Right. Yeah, no, it was us.
Was us changing seats, changing locations.
Yeah.
I mean, walking to a different casino at halftime.
We walked across Las Vegas Boulevard all the way over to Planet Hollywood, found this little place called the Heart Bar. It actually sounds a little sketchy when you think about it, you and I in the Heart Bar. But That's another story. We found a spot there on his comfortable couch, and lo and behold, KU goes on a run. I'm sure that everyone else probably moved seats too, or changed socks, or whatever they do. So if you did that, I feel like you probably had a little part in it just as much as we did. So congratulations to you.
Yeah, it's not the other players. Not the players stepping it up.
No,
it's not Jeff Withy playing like a monster.
No.
No.
No. No. So let's talk some numbers. Withy went 16-16-5. Just a crazy, crazy game. But not to be outdone, another candidate for player of the game was Relaford, going 22, and he had 8 rebounds too. So a great game for him. Young did his thing, had 10-9, and Tharp added 12, and mostly in the second half when he was playing almost all the minutes that McLemore would be playing. So a couple of the numbers, Withy and Young combined for 11 turnovers, which isn't their best showing, mostly because it was, a lot of them were in that first half where North Carolina guards were jumping in and smacking at the ball. And every
you know, they were really attacking the high-low.
Right.
I mean, between those two, they were really attacking it. And look, the guards were looking to get into those, you know, high-low passing lanes. And
mm-hmm. Young made some terrible passes, and Withy couldn't hold on to it. It was bad, looking bad for a while there. We did hold North Carolina to 30% shooting, which is under our average. I think we're holding teams to 33%. So we did a good job on the defensive end. But one kind of crazy stat, they put up 18 more shots than we did, which is a kind of, if you think about it, I mean, that's a ton of possessions. Now we did get fouled a little more, and but that really, I mean, I guess is the reason for that is the 22 turnovers, which is just a silly number. I mean, if we face up against Michigan and have 22 turnovers, there's no way we're winning the game, because Michigan is the best at protecting the ball in the country. I mean, they average 9 turnovers a game. So we're going to have to match, you know, their efficiency on that end and be able to take care of the basketball. But let's talk a little bit more about that second half, because that was kind of fun. Withy comes out and establishes himself. Relaford makes a couple threes. Relaford makes a couple crazy layups. Tharp ends up, you know, coming in and changing the game. What did you think about the second half?
The second half was fun. That's Kansas basketball right there. That was, we're playing pretty fast on offense, but in terms of, you know, we're getting some layups, especially from Relaford, getting some big run out blocks, you know, blocks, and then that led to the layups, you know, started by Jeff. Especially that one at the end was pretty great, where he kind of led the break. But it was great. The team that he had in there, that Bill Self had in there, with Nadir running the point, Elijah playing the two, Travis playing the three, and then obviously Kevin and Jeff, was the best formula for that win. And that didn't include Ben McLemore. Ben McLemore sat most of the second half on the bench, and I don't think that many coaches do that. Many coaches will not, you know, go with whatever is working. Some will just defer to, you know, the star player on the team. And I think that Bill Self had some gravitas, had some whatever you want to call it to make that decision. But it worked, and, you know, we ended up kind of with a runaway win.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It was the right decision. Pretty easy to see that now. Not to say that McLemore couldn't have got it turned around or whatever, but why change what's working? And McLemore was struggling in that first half. He went 0-9 for the game, 0-6 from three. Was playing good defense and was rebounding the ball. I mean, he wasn't hurting the team on defense, but really wasn't helping the team on offense. And we needed a spark. And we've seen throughout the year that Nadir is willing to come in and be a spark one way or the other. He can do some crazy plays that'll drive you nuts, which we saw a couple times with his behind the back pass and
hey, it worked out.
Violation
it,
and
it worked
other,
out
some other stuff, the step back threes, but gosh darn it, he was making them. So whatever, it's pretty exciting to see that comeback. Wasn't shocked by the comeback. I thought we would get back into the game, but how quickly we did it and how effectively we did it, and then just putting the foot down on the throat after that was the part that I was really excited about. North Carolina did not have an answer in that second half. Just their answer was launching threes, and you could just see Roy getting more and more concerned and frustrated by the way his team was reacting to our run. Yeah, it was very exciting. Here's a question for you. Do you think this, you know, this one good half of basketball will be enough to kind of jumpstart these guys, get some confidence going forward? Something we're obviously going to need with our next game or two.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, whatever they did at halftime, it worked. I heard the seniors kind of gave some rousing speeches, but whatever they did really kicked it in gear. I hope they do it again, or at least keep that same momentum going. But, you know, we kind of have these streaks of offensive ineptitude, and I think that it's not, you know, for lack of a better phrase, getting it out of our system, but it's kind of a confidence thing. Slow build to a big orchestra finale, and I think that we're still kind of building, but we got going through a fast part, and we're really working. But you know, we've got 5 days in between games, got to keep it going. It's going to be tough to play in Dallas, and I think that our more inside game is going to really help us.
Yeah, and you know, you heard Self even today say, there's a little bit of pressure on the number one seed playing in their backyard at Sprint Center, having all the pressure in the world to be, they're supposed to come out of that. They're supposed to beat the 16. They're supposed to beat the 8-9. They're playing in their backyard. There's no excuse. You might see a team a little more loose even that's playing down in Dallas is at least what I'm kind of hoping for. And I think what Self is hoping for and counting on is, no pressure now. We made it to the Sweet 16. Anything we do now is house money. Let's go out there and play our game. We can beat anybody. We've shown that. Now we just got to do it. So I don't know. Maybe it'll be nice to even to get out of KC and let these guys just play loose and play basketball. So any other thoughts on the North Carolina game before we move on from that?
Other than we found out that the kid who made that just got blocked face.
It looks like he was crying. The ginger.
He wasn't crying. He was just reacting in the sense of, right. Do it all the time. Big block, you go, ugh.
Yeah, exactly.
Was Terry Allen's son.
Yeah.
Yeah. Former That's... KU football coach Terry Allen. That was his son. Which so kind of comes back around.
Yeah, that was crazy. When I first saw it, you and I were sitting there in the Heart Bar, and I said, that's going to be on the internet in about 10 seconds. And then sure enough, it was popping up on the internet everywhere.
It popped up with everything else. It popped up with, like, Nadir was behind him eating,
Yeah.
Everything kind of just combined into one giant meme.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the internet. So that was pretty good. And then... just the Self versus Roy thing, I guess, is the last thing to close on. We talked about it before, but I think probably a little silly that people are making this, Roy can't beat Self or Roy can't beat Kansas little thing. But it is comical and, kind of funny, I guess. But any thoughts on Self versus Roy or Roy generally?
They're both good coaches, and I just think that it's worked out where we've gotten the better of him 3 times. I don't wish him, poor luck, but I think that we've just got his number. I think that there's a little bit of emotion for him in it, but I don't think that means that he coaches any worse.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
I just think that this is how it worked out. Like he, because he's so emotional about coming back or playing Kansas, like he doesn't make some sort of adjustment. Like,
no,
I don't think that's the case. I just think that, we've been the better team 3 times.
Well, and the matchup itself probably isn't great either. I mean, a kind of a tough, defensive-minded, rebounding team versus a little bit more of a finesse team that, wants to get out in transition. When they can't do the things that they do, and that's getting out and running, when Kansas kind of takes them out of their game, it's a really tough matchup for them to play that half-court game. And something that Self obviously tried to do, and eventually we took it over. So very exciting to be in the Sweet 16 as we move forward. Probably worth also noting that the KU women have made their way into the Sweet 16 for the second straight year. They were a bubble team, kind of surprising to many that we were chosen for the tournament as a 12 seed to go out and play Colorado in Boulder, and they won that 12-5 matchup, 67-52, and then last night faced off against South Carolina and won that one 75-69. So pretty exciting for the KU women to get out there Any thoughts on Bonnie Ball as they are making another kind of surprising run in the tournament?
It seems like annually I get a good 20 minutes of, well, 20 minutes of game time, but an hour of women's basketball watching in a year. Last year it was the Tennessee game where we lost. This year was the second half of the South Carolina game. So they played really well, and they have cool jerseys. Mm-hmm. That's my reaction. They have the names below the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that yesterday. Otherwise, there's some pretty good pretty good players that girls who can shoot. I know Carolyn Davis's name, and I know Angel Goodrich's name. I don't know any other names, but it was fun to watch them. I'm glad that they made it, and we're the only team to have teams in both men's and women's in the Sweet 16. So that's a hell of an accomplishment.
Well, I think there's a couple, but it's the only one to do it 2 years in a row. I think there's a couple more.
See, like I said, we're just making stuff up.
And again, I read this somewhere, and I don't know if it's right. So I could be wrong there too, but I think there might be a couple. We'll have somebody fact check that and probably tweet us and tell us we're wrong. I guess,
or tell me that I'm right.
Or that works too.
Probably tell me that I'm right.
Probably not, but that's okay. So I guess the frustrating part to me about this KU women's run is that we haven't seen it all year. They're supposed to have this monster class, monster team back and really struggled throughout the year, but showing that maybe that, Bonnie maybe coaching for a job again made a run. I don't know. It's just kind of surprising. I do know that the Big 12 women's basketball slate is by far the toughest of any other conference. It's this year's Big 10, probably worse even than the Big 10 and for men's side. So I guess there is a little bit of a break there, but I don't know. Do you think that this run will again cement Bonnie into returning for another year?
Well, absolutely. You can't fire someone who made back-to-back Sweet 16s. That's kind of the benchmark. You can talk about conference wins. You can talk about conference championships and everything. But two Sweet 16 victories after a team hadn't made the Sweet 16, I think since 2000, before last year. You know what? She coaches well in the clutch, and she gets her players to play well. They've got Notre Dame coming up. Going to be a big, big game.
Or Iowa. Depending on who wins. I don't think that game's been played yet.
Well, let's just Notre Dame.
They got Notre Dame coming up.
One seeds win in the women's basketball arena. Yeah,
you're right.
it'll be a fun game. Hopefully, maybe they can advance further. I don't know. Maybe that's something that they've got in them. I wouldn't count them out.
Well, best of luck to the KU ladies. I did notice hashtag KUWBB was trending on Twitter today, which is pretty cool. I think Ben got it started by tweeting out that hashtag and saying congrats to the ladies. So pretty cool. Something that's not quite as cool. We saw, at least when I was in Vegas, you were here, but Randall made his decision to attend the University of Kentucky. Not terribly surprising to us because we had been kind of discussing that was a real possibility. Still kind of sucks because seemed like it was a really good fit for him here. Not sure how good a fit it will be there. I'm sure it will be fine. Good luck to the kid. Another loss to Calipari in the recruiting game. We do have another chance to best him with Wiggins still out there. Probably a lean toward Florida State at this point, but I do think that Kansas does have a shot with him. There's some ties, obviously, with his brother playing at Wichita State. And then, I don't know, it seemed like his family, and he said that he felt most comfortable around Bill Self in Kansas. Pretty shy kid, so comfort's probably a big factor. And I think he wants to win a championship. So could be interesting to see what happens on the Wiggins front. Another important little note, we saw Bill Self get his 300th win for KU after beating North Carolina. And if you're out there doing your math, he's been here 10 years, which means he's averaged 30 wins over the course of his 10 years at Kansas, which is just an asinine stat. He's also had his fourth straight 30-win season with the win over Western Kentucky. So pretty exciting for Coach Self. And starting to get to the question where you're starting to think, is he going to be a guy who's going to get up there and into the upper echelon of all-time wins with Coach K and Bobby Knight and such. So any thoughts on where Self is through 300 wins for KU? Just pretty crazy. What do you think?
Well, it definitely puts him in the upper echelon, you know, puts him in the Coach K, puts him in the, you know, whoever else has a shot at it. I think it's him and Coach K. You know, if he keeps going, he's going to have a shot at it. There's not really anybody else.
Like Boeheim maybe Brett's, up there?
Yeah, Boeheim, but he's winding down. And as far as the young guys, it's Bill Self and not really anybody else other than maybe Brad Stevens, depending on what happens there. But it kind of cements Bill as the guy, I think. It's not like this one win did it. I mean, we knew it before, but it's kind of a milestone where we can stop and reflect. And
well, that, say that 300 through 10 years, that's just crazy. I mean, no one does that. That's, you can't even, there's just no one else out there that's done that. 30 wins over 10 seasons on average for in one place. And he didn't even come in and have like a couple bad years and then got there. He just like from the beginning, he's averaged 30 wins. That's just nuts. He's had this conversation with Bill Ryder the other day, who's a Missouri grad, but loves Bill Self. And he was just like, there's no coach out there that's better than him right now. No one is better than him right now. And the numbers back it up, and watching the games backs it up. It's not even a numbers thing. Like, the stats people love it, and the basketball people love it too. You can't say enough about what Bill Self has done here. One story that kind of caught my eye last night was a couple of the writers out there are grasping for stories and decided to reseed the Sweet 16. I thought this was kind of interesting. Jeff Borzello of CBS had us at number 7 in the Sweet 16, but Myron Metcalf of ESPN had us all the way down at 11. Where would you put us based on the metrics? Let's just say what you saw this weekend and the throughout the year coming in, what you saw leading up to the tournament. Where do you think KU falls there, and who are you surprised that would be ahead of us?
Well, it's kind of obvious that Myron Metcalf would put us, you know, down low. Not that he has hate for KU, but it just seems like if there's any kind of thing that involves KU, he's not going to put us in a positive light. That's, you know, death, taxes, and Myron Metcalf not giving KU any credit is kind of the constants in life. But I would put us still, I mean, as a one seed, I think we've got as good of a shot as anybody else. But it really doesn't matter. I mean, there's only 16 teams left. Everybody's pretty good. You just got to win and move on.
Yeah, I just thought it was kind of funny. I think a little bit of it was trolling KU fans. I do understand, you know, watching the games and seeing KU struggle through three of those four halves. And then, you know, thinking maybe they don't deserve to be in the top four in this little world of reseeding. Both those guys had Michigan and Florida ahead of us. So I thought that was kind of interesting. The computers love Florida. They continue to love Florida. And I hope we get to see them, because I would love to prove those computers wrong and show a little something there. We should probably let you guys know that we will be back to talk about this Michigan game coming up on Friday. We're going to do a full podcast talking about Michigan and the other teams in our pod, Florida and Florida Gulf Coast, Dunk City. And so we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on that now, but just any initial thoughts on facing Michigan? Let's close with that, and then we'll hopefully even have Brady McCullough, big Michigan guy, former KUB writer, on with us to talk some Michigan hoops. But any thoughts on Michigan as we lead up this week?
I think it's a great matchup for us as long as our guards don't turn the ball over, which is a big if. You know, which we haven't, you know, done in the past two games. We definitely play inside out, and they, you know, can struggle with that. You know, we're a tough defensive team. They kind of faced some of that, you know, road tough defense troubles this year in the Big Ten, and they're going to definitely face that with us. Even if our offense struggles, we're going to have the defense to rely on that. And so if their offense struggles, I don't think they have the defense to fall back on. So I think that we really have to take advantage on offense, do some things that they're, you know, take advantage of some mismatches, you know, definitely with Jeff down there, and then really just stay strong on defense. And I think we have a great shot at winning. Not a lot of national people giving KU love here, but that really doesn't matter. I think if you really look at the matchup and KU plays up to its potential, certainly we've got, you know, as good of a shot as anybody.
Right. No, I'm with you. I do kind of think it's funny that all the national guys giving Michigan a lot of love. It doesn't bother me one bit, actually. It just gives our guys a little more motivation. I was doing a little research on Michigan and facing some of the defenses that they've faced. And against top 10 defenses, KenPom, you know, pace-adjusted defensive efficiency, against top 10 defenses, they're 2-4 on the season. So that's the one stat that kind of jumps out to me that, you know, if you get a defense that's really going to pressure them, might be good for us. It is a team that scares me a lot. I've said that all season long. Or even back in February, we were talking about teams that scare us, don't want to see in the tournament. Michigan was the first one that I said. So they do scare me, mostly because they have four guys that can make three-pointers, and they're very good at it. But I do like our chances. I like our defense, and it'll be interesting. We'll have a whole podcast on it here coming up later this week, probably tomorrow night. It'll be up there Thursday morning. So anything else you want to mention before we get out of here?
No, just had fun in Vegas. Got to see some Jayhawk victory. Got victories, plural. Thank God, plural.
Had a few drinks, just a couple.
You know, just a couple, and, you know, really had a good time. Looking forward to the Sweet 16. I think it's going to be a pretty fun weekend.
Absolutely. Are you going down there? We haven't talked to you about this.
Don't know yet.
You don't know yet?
Don't know yet.
I unfortunately am not going to be able to go down there. I've got a wedding I'm planning for myself here in 2 weeks. So I think my fiance would kill me if I went down to Dallas for a weekend after being in Vegas for a week. But
yeah, priorities, I guess.
Uh-huh. But we'll be watching it, very excited for these games. We will be back with you in a couple days talking Michigan and some of the Florida schools. Until then, we will catch you next time, and rock chalk. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Jayhawk Talk podcast. We invite you to contact the show by tweeting me at Jayhawk Talk or at Andrew at Naismith Drive. You can also contact us via email at jayhawktalk@gmail.com. If you'd like to support the show, please just comment, rate, and subscribe to us on iTunes. Thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Rock chalk.